How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Knox Manning in Hollywood, taking you on another brief journey behind the scenes. Once again, we draw the curtain to watch a fragment of forgotten drama, a story of people and places already hidden in the background of destiny. Today, we shall meet a strikingly beautiful actress who was almost killed by criticism. But first, a word from a familiar voice. Thank you for those wise words. And now, step with me behind the scenes, back some 75 years to a small furnished flat in the artist's quarter of a large city. It's obviously the room of a young girl. Lacy gowns are thrown carelessly over the chaise longue, and cut glass perfume bottles cascade down a small table reflecting the morning sunlight in rainbow colors. And there she is, lying on the bed, her face buried among the pillows. As we enter the room, we can hear the bitter sobs that rack her tiny body. Rosine was miserable, utterly, completely, terrifyingly miserable. Her whole life had come to an end. She was through, finished. There was nothing left for her, nothing at all. Yet there was a certain triumph in her bitterness. She'd never really wanted to be an actress, but her mother had insisted that little Rosine study for the stage, study until her eyelids seemed to fall closed from their own weight, practice roles until her voice could hardly rise above a whisper at the day's end, and her body ached like a living gown of pain. And all for what? For this, for today, for nothing. As she turned across the bed, Rosine's glance fell on a pile of already well-thumbed newspapers. She lifted one of them gently, holding it out at arm's length. This particular critic hadn't been too unkind. He'd understood that she was merely a young, inexperienced actress, that it was her debut. He'd said gently, "She has a pretty voice and a not unpleasant face, but her figure is ugly and she lacks stage presence." Yes, he'd been kinder in criticizing her than most of them, far kinder than the man who said it was reasonable that among all the new actresses there were bound to be some who could never succeed. Rosine flung the papers across the room, knocked the lamp from the nightstand, hurled her slippers against a mirror, shattering it to bits, and then relaxed into another tempest of tears. They were right. They were all of them right. She could never succeed. But she didn't care. She didn't care a bit. Not for the stage, not for fame, not for herself, not even for life. Rosine pulled herself up from the bed and walked stiffly to the dressing table. She stared into the shattered mirror, stared at the reflection which gazed back at her in fury and scorn. Her face was white, tear-stained and pallid. Perhaps it was pretty. Well, it would always be pretty now. Those eyes would never age, those lips never whiten. She would always be as lovely as she was today, and as unknown. Her hand trembled a little as she seized the bottle of liquid rouge. The morning light fell across the red skull and crossbones on the label, and Rosine raised the poison to her lips. Now, before the conclusion to our story, a word from your announcer. For several days, Rosine hovered between life and death. The best doctors of Paris despaired of her recovery, but something kept her alive, some unconscious will to live. And she recovered, and returned to the theater where she achieved the greatest success any actress has ever won. For Rosine Bernard, who tried to kill herself because the critics had ridiculed her first performance, became the star of her age, Madame Sarah Bernhardt. This is Knox Manning, inviting you to join me again tomorrow at this time for another journey into that dim half-light where chance and destiny lift men out from behind the scenes. This is a Hamilton Whitney radio production, transcribed in Hollywood.